Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, we'll kick off a new series about the region's struggle with an uptick in heroin abuse. We'll speak with addiction counselors at the Worcester County Health Department to learn why people are turning to this dangerous opiate and what they're doing to help people beat their addictions. But first, we'll try to walk the line of an issue that every community struggles with at one point or another. How to grow without adversely impacting the environment in which you inhabit. Certainly here on the coast, where millions of people come to visit and enjoy this region, this question is often a tricky one. Of course, more building and development means more people and the potential for a stronger local economy. But can it be done without damaging the natural ecosystem? Well, here in Worcester County, this debate is intensifying, as the county commissioners are considering an amendment to Bill 12-6. It would increase the number of allowable lots on agriculture and resource protection zone land, which, by the way, is about 89% of Worcester County, from 5 to 7 lots. And opponents claim this will increase the amount of allowable growth on our farms and forest land by almost 40%. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Worcester County Commissioner Jim Bunting, who represents District 6. He supports this move. But to get the other side of this debate, I sat down with Dave Wilson. He's the executive director of the Maryland Coastal Bays Program.
Since 1967, Worcester County has had some of the best ag zoning in Maryland. In other words, you have 5 lots that you can subdivide off of your parcel. And that's really helped us keep us a viable county from an agricultural standpoint and certainly from a forestry standpoint. And what we've seen historically is that the counties that have the losing the most in terms of agriculture are the ones that are fragmented the most. And so we've basically based all of our modeling on how much nutrients are going into systems, whether it's the coastal bays or the Chesapeake with TMDLs and with WIPs, which is another watershed implementation plan that counties have to do, based all that on the 5 lots. And it's going to be very hard to meet our water quality goals with that. If we go to 7, that introduces a brand new problems for us in terms of water quality, looking at hundreds of thousands of more pounds of nitrogen going into both systems, certainly from a wildlife standpoint, from forest fragmentation, fragmentation of farmland and ultimately loss of that agricultural land from once was where you were growing crops, now you're growing houses. And there's nothing good about that for agriculture.
You know, much of the pushback against your stance seems to come from the farming community, but it also seems to come a bit from the development community. Is this, you know, amendment to the bill or Bill 12-6, which one, I guess, does it help more? Does it help development? Does it help farming?
Well, again, it's not going to help farming at all. It could certainly help individual, you know, developers if they're developing parcels of land. But again, you know, this is not, we're not taking anything. This is literally giving people the right to, if it were to pass, you know, develop on 40% more mm-hmm. of the county. I mean, literally, it would increase development by 40% in the county. And then so the benefit to a few, and keep in mind, too, that a lot of farmers are renters, not owners, and a lot of them own more than one parcel. And so you're already looking at, you know, potentially, you know, 10 lots in a lot of cases, really 6 in the ag zone if you cluster. You know, what we're looking at is a huge tax burden for the rest of the taxpayers who are already here in terms of bus service, school service, you know, basic services from any kind of road maintenance, emergency services. You know, we've seen time and time and time again that the sprawl development never, ever pays for itself. You know, agriculture costs, you know, 30 to 40 cents an acre per every dollar in revenue versus sort of sprawl development like this, which is, you know, anywhere from $1.30 to $1.50 in some cases. So, you know, the benefit to a few is really a burden on the rest of the county. I mean, you can say, well, I don't care about wildlife, I don't care about water quality, but surely from a size of government standpoint and a tax standpoint, this is probably about the worst thing you could do is just to encourage sprawl development all over the county.
Mm-hmm. Maryland Land Use Planner Eric Fisher, who's with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, he said that sprawling development is generally the highest polluting form of growth, and permitting more of this kind of development, as may be encouraged under Bill 12-6, will complicate the county's efforts to reduce pollution flowing into the Pocomoke River and to the coastal bays. You know, there's all kinds of conversation about suburban sprawl. What is smart growth in a community? Certainly here on the coast, many people want to move here for the very things that your organization tries to preserve, the natural resources, the bays, the water, the view. Are we getting in with this bill to a point where it's not smart growth in your mind.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing about the county bill that's smart growth at all. I mean, it's pretty much the opposite. When you're basically letting any ag parcel be developed into 40% more development, that's pretty much the opposite of what you would think of when you think of the way we've been trying to do it for the past 20 years, which is to, you know, concentrate growth in certain areas. We basically don't have that enormous tax burden on individuals. Mm-hmm. And it's worked fairly well in Worcester County. We were lucky enough to have Ocean Pines and Ocean City in the northern part of the county, and we're able to preserve a lot of the southern part of the county. It's worth noting, too, that, you know, we're able to do a lot of land conservation in Worcester County, and we have given a lot of millions of dollars to farmers to continue to farm and basically buying their development rights. And this will make that very, very difficult. I mean, you're looking at paying a huge percentage more just to preserve 100 acres of land. That's going to be an enormous burden on the tax dollars that we, you know, are able to lure to this county to do that kind of conservation work.
Is there a compromise that isn't in the comprehensive plan of Worcester County that needs to be looked at in a way that the natural resources of this region can be preserved while still having a bit of smart growth? Is it in the comprehensive plan or is it not?
Right. Well, the comprehensive plan is very clear about the five lots. Find a farm that has five subdivisions where the entire family is living there. And how many more do you need? If there is a farm that has five family members living on five lots on a farm, then we could potentially look at interfamily transfers where you could get another lot or two. If that is really the issue, we'd be willing to sit down and talk about that and look at it. But just to sort of randomly give two more lots to every ag parcel in the county when only a tiny, tiny percentage of those ag parcels are owned by farmers just wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Why should residents be concerned about this one seemingly complex, you know, legislative move?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. You know, one is the tourism industry in Ocean City. I mean, there's $2 billion of infrastructure there. And, you know, a lot of that is really reliant on clean beaches and clean bays. And when you look at the parcelization that's happened in the northern part of the county, you could potentially have a lot more septic development in that part with this bill. And all that septic, I mean, we're talking about a northern coastal bays that's sort of teetering on the brink in terms of its water quality and related, again, to algae blooms, bacteria. Adding that amount of septic systems to the northern coastal bays, you know, 40% plus, could do a tremendous amount of damage over the long term to the water quality in both Isle of Wight and Assawoman Bay, and then ultimately, of course, to Ocean City.
Do you think that this bill is kind of a local knee-jerk reaction to what could be coming down the pike with the septic bill?
Well, I think it is a reaction to that. I mean, at least they've used that as a sort of the reasoning. Because it doesn't affect Worcester County, it's a little bit specious argument, I think, to say that, well, we have five lots. The county or the state says that in Tier 4, which is most of the county, you'd be able to go up to seven lots. Therefore, we'll just go up to seven lots. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I do think it's a reaction to that to some extent, although I do think you could also use that in order to sort of get your own way in terms of something you've always wanted but haven't really figured out how to get. I do think that, you know, when you look at Wicomico County and Somerset County and some of the other ones, it will definitely have an impact on those counties. And it should. And it's, in a way, it's a shame that some of the counties that, you know, have been sort of slow to move into the 21st century with zoning have made it bad for all of us in terms of having to fight these battles, which we should have put to bed many, many years ago.
You know, every year we sit down and we talk about the grade for the water quality, you know, here in the Maryland Coastal Bays. If this were to pass, when that report card comes around several years down the line, how hard is that going to make it, or how much impact is it going to have on that water quality, on that annual grade, in your estimation?
Well, it's going to impact it in a way that is something that we didn't anticipate. We have a plan to clean up the northern coastal bays over the long term. And the sad thing about it is, you know, we base that on current zoning, as I mentioned. Right now, we're looking at a D in St. Martin's River, a C minus in Assawoman Bay, which is north of Route 90, and a C in Isle of Wight Bay, mostly because of the inlet. But that is a grade that's based on really just livability for organisms. This isn't a pie in the sky grade that says, well, if it's not an A unless it was like it was in Verrazano sailed in. This is really just trying to get a practical look at what we can do in the northern coastal bays. And a C is not good. You know, if you're looking at 20 or 30,000 more septic systems, at thousands and thousands of pounds of more nitrogen going into that system, that's going to be a major problem for us in terms of our ability to make keep Ocean City viable over the next several decades.
Yeah. If this passes, does this become one of the biggest hurdles in keeping the Maryland coastal bays pristine and clean and desirable for, you know, people to come and enjoy?
Yeah, it's a big hurdle. I mean, this is one of the biggest battles we fought. We, you know, we have worked really well with Ocean City in Berlin to get stormwater utilities and the state in terms of, you know, things that they can do. Even Department of Agriculture has been wonderful to work with. But this local move by the county is a major setback.
Dave Wilson's the executive director of the Maryland Coastal Bays Program. Dave, always nice chatting with you, and best of luck.
Pleasure being here.
I'm joined on the phone now by Jim Bunting. He's a Worcester County Commissioner. He represents District 6. Jim, thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Well, thanks for having me.
So this conversation that's been had here in the last couple weeks concerning what's called Bill 12-6, it's a text amendment that would expand the definition of a minor subdivision from 5 lots to 7. Opponents of this move say that this could be something that, you know, is in direct result to, you know, Senate Bill 236, which is the septic bill that has been highly debated across the shore.
Not in my opinion. Commissioner Shockley was working for then to increase the amount of subdivisions allowed in an agricultural zone, and it didn't happen. We're looking at our comprehensive plan now, and he brought it up, and he wanted us to look at it again. So Commissioner Purnell and myself, we kind of agreed with him. I've had calls from farmers that are concerned about the fact that they have no further divisions of their property left, and they have children or grandchildren that they would like to give a lot to, and they can't. And then there's other farmers that have spoke to me about the situation where they don't have any further subdivisions of their land, and some of them haven't had good years, and they may need the possibility of having an extra lot to sell in order to retain their farm. So I think it was more of that issue with me than anything.
Yeah, let's elaborate on that stance concerning farmers in the region, because it came to my attention, and I guess it was argued to me, that, you know, similar to what you were saying, that farmers feel that the next generation, you know, their kids, their grandkids that may want to get into the farming business, you know, they would essentially have to wait until the former generation passed on before, you know, they were able to utilize that land. You know, you talk to any farmer around the region and they say that it's becoming harder and harder to make a living. You know, how much of an impact do you think increasing the subdivision plots from 5 to 7 would make for farming families across this county?
Well, it's not, in my opinion, I really don't, the impact is not going to be a whole lot as far as increasing the amount of subdivision. It's more the fact that it would be available for a family member or a financial situation. Just say, for instance, the last records I have that are up to date, from January of 2008 to June of 2011, there was only 99 subdivisions done in an A1 or A2 agricultural zone. And of those 99 lots, 84 of them are still vacant. They haven't been built on. So I don't think there's going to be even if we go from 5 to 7, there's not going to be a big, huge increase of people coming in with plats. There's farmers that would not ever sell any of their property off. And I don't see that being an issue of a rush on the farmers subdivide the property.
You know, I know the commission received a letter from Eric Fisher, who's the Maryland land use planner with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Yeah.
And he seems to claim that this bill, Bill 12-6 that we're talking about here, would, in his mind, increase the dangers of, you know, suburban sprawl. Do you, I guess, agree with his notion that this move would fall into that category of sprawl? And if you don't, I mean, explain why.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't think it's going to be an increase in sprawl. I've heard the number 40% a lot. If you really look at the facts, it'll only be about a 4% increase if everybody did it. I don't see that. And as far as an impact on the pollution in our bays, the facts are the Lower Eastern Shore, only 8% of the nitrogen that goes into Chesapeake Bay comes from septic systems.
Mm-hmm.
Lower Eastern Shore only contributes 4.58% of that 8%. So if you talk about all the nitrogen pollution into Chesapeake Bay, 0.37% comes from septic systems on the lower the Tri-County area of the Lower Eastern Shore. Wicomico County has already changed and gone to 7 lots. There's nine counties total, I believe, right now that have gone to 7 lots. The impact on the bays, it would not even be a blip on the radar.
It's interesting because in speaking with Dave Wilson from the Maryland Coastal Bays Program, I guess they're taking this much more serious, or they think of this as a turning point issue kind of thing. He claims that this is going to have a huge impact on the environment and our natural resources, most specifically the coastal bays here in Worcester County. It sounds like for you guys, it doesn't seem like, you know, you think that it would have that much of an impact. Why do you think that the two camps or the two sides of this issue have such a different belief in how much impact this move would make?
Well, first of all, let me say I have, you know, utmost respect for Dave Wilson. He's done a fine job. They're working on two projects in the Bishopville area now that's in my district, and I thank them. They're the ones that made it work. And, you know, everybody doesn't agree on everything, but the statistics are what I just quoted to you. The increase from going to 5 to 7 would not be a blip on the radar, because if you look at the total nitrogen load that goes to the bays, there's 49.4 million pounds of nitrogen that goes to the Chesapeake Bay in a year. Septic contributes 4 million pounds of that, which is 8% of that total. So when you look at it, when you break it down, like I said, we're 0.37%. And septics only contribute, like I said, 4 million pounds of 49.4 million pounds. Forest contributes 7.1 million. Forest contributes more than septics. Are we going to call our trees down to fix that solution? No. So I think statistics indicate that it's nothing to be concerned about.
I guess this is part of a larger, you know, more philosophical debate about this region. And certainly millions of people come here every single year to enjoy the natural resources, the ocean, the bays. As Worcester County continues to grow, and we want to walk that line between, you know, smart growth and still preserving our natural resources, you know, I know Worcester County has that comprehensive plan in place. Do you feel that that is kind of the blueprint on how to walk that line between smart growth and preserving our natural environment?
We've done a great job, I think, through the years that I've been around here. And our comp plan is a good comp plan. But I still do not see the concern of going to 5 to 7 lots. And I think a lot of people misunderstand what a comp plan is. A comp plan is a list of goals and objectives. And what you never... I don't think there's ever been a comp plan done that you did everything put in it. And the purpose being, and it's just goals and objectives, what sounded good when you were writing it may have turned out not to be good. And suppose you were forced to do something in that comp plan that was not good. That's why it's a comp plan. It's goals and objectives.
We've been speaking with Jim Bunting. He is the Worcester County Commissioner representing District 6. Jim, nice talking to you, and thank you for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
It's been a pleasure, and I thank you.
To learn more about this debate, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection. We're on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.